This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710. We are live at Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park on an absolutely beautiful day for baseball. The sun is shining. We're under a canopy, which is perfect. We got some air coming through here. We got Mike Lefko in for Wyman today. The Pirates are out there on the field taking some batting practice. You couldn't find a better day for baseball. And the Mariners coming off that four-game sweep. By the way, Lefko, during the snapshot, I talked about the LSU player fainting. You ever passed out?
No, not that I remember. I felt dizzy before, but not like straight up pass out. You know, after you're playing sports in the summer, after you know you're doing something,
but never
not
just
straight
standing.
Up. No.
Yeah, I was. I was telling our guy Matt Nelson before the show that I've been in all these ways. I've been the best man three times. I've been groomsman three times. I've been invariably somebody will give you the direction of don't lock your knees, to keep you from passing out. Really? I guess if you're standing for a long time or whatever, you're supposed to keep your knees bent or bend them now and then or something. But that's hearing that maybe she was standing there with her knees locked and passed out. But apparently it's happened a few times there. And that's always the direction we would get from whoever was in charge at the wedding. Don't lock your knees.
That's good advice. Actually, today it's going to be a very warm day. So I know people are going to be standing out here, here at Edgar's.
And bend your knees, everybody.
Maybe not as hydrated as they should be and drinking perhaps not water. So don't bend your knees.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun day out here. The Mariners, everybody's feeling good. A four-game sweep of the A's. You got the Pirates in town. Coming up, we got a big show. Bill Krueger of Root Sports will join us at 3 o'clock today. Be good to catch up with Bill Krueger, the crafty lefty. Ryan Roland Smith will make a triumphant return after his apology tour because his medical advice was just way off base, apparently, and he calls himself a doctor. Jeez. He was suggesting that Ty France should maybe be out for 10 games or so, and then Ty gets thrown back in the lineup last night and proceeds to hit two home runs in a game for the first time as a Seattle Mariner. So he'll join us at 4 o'clock. I'm just kidding. I thought it was funny he released an apology video on Twitter. I'm like, don't apologize to people. What are you doing, man?
I think he was just trying to get the sympathy.
I was waiting for him to laugh in the video, and he didn't smile, or he seemed so dour and serious, like, I'm sorry, guys. I screwed that. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, don't do that.
I think maybe he just wanted the ego boost a little bit.
Wanted people to go, it's okay.
Oh, no, you're great, Ryan. You're great. You're great.
He was seeking sympathy?
A little bit of approval seeking. It's all right. We give him enough. I thought we did. I thought we gave him enough praise. But we can give him his flowers in person when he comes out here. Maybe some pizza as well. There are like 8 boxes of Moto Pizza out here. I thought you were going to start the show with that, so I was a little distracted. But apparently,
weird.
Bob,
distracted by food. That's weird.
We have the most coveted item in maybe Seattle and out of this ballpark. Now, all these Moto Pizzas right here. So come on down.
Yeah, we might eat them all. Had our guy that was bringing over Ballard Pizza to us last year, and now I guess he's working there with Moto Pizza and brought over 6-7 boxes of it here sitting on our desk. So
I think at this point, Mike Salk is probably very jealous.
That's a shame.
That's something that he craves, and now we have it.
Well,
we possess something that he wants.
He can't have it anyway. You hear him on these commercials. He's lost like 74 pounds. He's just he's all cut and juiced up these days. That's not part of his diet, so he's not missing anything. We thank the people at Moto Pizza. I haven't tasted it yet, but it looks good.
The smell's getting to me, I'm going to be honest.
By the way, again, free food, Lefko. Game over. You'll lose them if it's free.
Isn't that why we come out here?
No.
But
I got to say, I've never seen Matt Nelson that happy.
See, there you go. I'm not the only one.
You are just consistently all about food at all times. Matt, I don't really discuss food with him. But I said, how is it? He just looked at me and like it was in just heaven. He goes, it is
he
so
can't
good.
Even talk.
It's so good. I've never seen him that happy.
He has abandoned his post. Not even speaking right now.
Yeah.
One pizza down, 3 more to go.
Yeah. You're worried he's going to take yours. That's what you're worried about.
Yes.
Bill Krueger, 3 o'clock. Ryan Roland Smith at 4 o'clock. We may catch up with Joe Block, the Pirates radio broadcaster, potentially joining us. Bryce Miller will join us here at the set at 5 o'clock. Then our buddy from Prospect Insider, Luke Arkins, will join us at 5:30. So it's going to be a fun show. We'll have Mean Text coming up, so you guys can get started right now if you'd like. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Just be creative. That's all we're asking for there. So we'll do that at 5:45. So a big day, beautiful day for baseball, and How you feeling? You guys can text in. You swept the A's. Now, we know it's the A's. We know they're terrible. But you took four. You took four out of four, and I don't care which team you're playing. That's still a big deal in baseball. That's hard to do in baseball. Listen, they're not gonna go winless the rest of the season. The A's are the worst team in baseball, which means any game they win is against a team that's technically better than they are.
Yeah.
They're going to beat teams. Every team that faces the A's feels like we've got no business losing to them, but teams will lose. So I don't want to, you know, short sell winning four in a row against any team. I think that's a hard thing to do. The goal was to take three of four. You want to win the series. Same thing you want to do. Take two of three from this Pirates team, and we'll get into what they've been doing lately. But four in a row, another stellar pitching effort. I mean, man, Logan Gilbert was fantastic, but we'll get into that. But Mariners now 26-24. And just we've been doing this throughout the season, comparing after the four-game sweep. They were 21-29 at the point last year. So you're on a much better pace, as bad as things have felt, and as much as we've been wringing our hands at different times, and I'm sure that'll happen as the season goes on. But the pace is good, and I just think it was crucial to get these games. And I think four, you know, I don't expect it. I don't say, you know, four or nothing. They got three. Four was gravy.
Well, it is good because, Bob, two other division teams have played the A's twice already this season, the Rangers and the Angels. So they have also played seven games against the A's, just like the Mariners. And the A's have two wins against those teams. So yeah. A couple of a four-game and three-game series. They beat the Angels one time. They beat the Angels another time. And same thing with the Rangers. Twice, the Rangers, who are the hottest team in this division right now, lost a game in two series against the A's. So you did exactly what you had to do. You saw great pitching performances. And I think we talked about this on Monday where, okay, well, what are we going to take out of this? Well, you can take away individual performances and build on that. So if you look at, yes, all the pitching we're going to get into and Julio Rodriguez starting to find a little bit of a rhythm, it is so much better than the alternative. What? You're not going to have them win these four games? So the Mariners get the win. And by the way, I know you don't often play four-game series because – you know, that's just the nature of the schedule. So this stat might be a little skewed. But, Bob, this was a remarkable stat that Rick Riz had on the broadcast yesterday. The A's had not been swept by the Mariners here in a four-game series since August 12th through 15th, 1991.
I was like 3 years old
at
the time.
Yeah, I wasn't even born yet. No, I was born yet. We were both three. Wow, that's incredible.
Crazy.
Wow. But, yeah, so just because they are bad, it's still to win four games in a row is something completely difficult to do. So good on the Mariners. They get those four wins in a row, and now you're two games above 500 for the first time this season.
Yeah, and hopefully that continues tonight. I think tonight's the toughest pitching matchup for them when you look at who the Pirates are throwing out there. And again, we'll get into that. But just by way of review, looking at last night's game, Logan Gilbert gives up two runs in the first. And you're going, oh, boy. Okay, is this going to be the game that the A's get? They come to life in this game, and Logan doesn't quite have his stuff. Well, after that first inning, after the home run, he retired 15 in a row, so that would be the final out of the inning after the home run, and then 14 more, retired 22 of the next 23 hitters. He gave up one hit in there, no walks. That's crazy. That's impressive.
And he did that on Saturday, too. So he's now at back-to-back outings where he's done the exact same thing.
Well, even more impressive, he goes eight innings, and he does it on 77 pitches.
Yes.
77 pitches. He gets you through eight innings. He was phenomenal last night. I mean, yeah, the first inning, you're going, oh, boy, this could be an off night, and this is the A's are bound to win a game. Maybe this is it. And for him just to do whatever he did to adjust and shut him down the way that he did, retire the next 15 in a row. Scott Servais after the game just talking about some of the changes he's seen in Logan.
Yeah, he's changed a little bit. His profile has changed since when he first got here. He was a definite flyball pitcher. He was the guy that you know, if you want to give an infield a day off, it was on Logan's day. Not so much anymore. He's got so many pitches going down in the strike zone. His sliders change. The split finger has become a real weapon for him. And the more confidence he has with it, you're seeing it come out late in counts. It just comes out of that same tunnel as the fastball, and guys can't lay off it. So, yeah, the strikeouts, the balls on the ground, all good things for any starting pitcher.
I do want to talk to Ryan and to Bill Kruger about that, because this splitter, since he's been able to command that, has been so effective for Logan Gilbert. That's what he unveiled on Saturday against the Braves, threw 25 of those on Saturday. And you kind of heard the description from Scott Servais why that pitch is so effective. So he threw 17 of those last night. To add that to your arsenal, I'm not going to say he's going to have matching performances every time out. He's not going to necessarily do what he did against the Braves or the A's every single start from here on out. But you're going to see a Logan Gilbert, I think, that's on another another plane equal to what we've seen out of George Kirby because of the effectiveness of this pitch now. He's got the confidence, and when you add another thing to your pitch mix, just incredibly difficult for batters to pick up.
Yeah, another one from Scott Service talking, where I just talked about the fact that he went through eight on 77 pitches. So you're thinking, all right, is he coming out for the ninth? He's going to complete game this thing? And he said not an easy decision to pull him after the eighth.
It's not an easy call. Obviously, he had pitches left. He had plenty left in the tank. There's a lot of things that play into those decisions, you know, kind of what the game feels like there. But I just thought he did an awesome job tonight. There's not a day off before his next start. You know, we're going to ask so much of our starting pitching as the season goes along. And you get eight innings like that with really only one mistake. You know, you have to move on. We had a rested bullpen tonight. Your closer's down there, who's having a great season as well. So not an easy decision, but Logan understands. I think the funny thing is I've been talking to him about, you know, when to empty the tank. You know, when you get to that 80-pitch mark, that's kind of it. He goes, I never even got to 80 pitches. So, you know, he's in a good spot. He threw the ball great, did his job tonight, and nice to see him get the win.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. Did you have a problem with that move? Maybe some people were a little curious about it. I think that was the absolute right move in that situation because it's a one-run game. You do have a rested bullpen. You have an extremely good closer in Paul Sewald, who was 10 for 10, now 11 for 11 in save opportunities this season. So, all right, it's always cool to see that CG next to your name on the stat line, but, I mean, that seemed like the most prudent move right there in that situation.
Yeah, I didn't have any issue with it.
I saw some people did. Of course they do.
Yeah. And then after the game, probably he either, yeah, that's what I thought. That was a good move, or he got lucky. You know, I mean, they're just people that want to be right about something bad.
Now, the curious move, and it might have affected the game, was Mark Kotze pulling J.P. Sears after 59 pitches.
Yeah, him in the fifth inning. What was going on with if there was something I didn't read much on him. I don't know, you know, if he was dealing with anything physically, and they just felt like, hey, we want to, you know, baby step him into, you know, longer outings. We're stretching him out. I don't really know what the deal was.
Well, but no, he said he didn't like the matchup coming up with Ty France because he had already homered off Sears. But this was a guy that had locked down the Mariners in every start he made against them. It's not like you have a good bullpen. I mean, the A's have the worst bullpen in baseball, and look what happens. They go to their bullpen gives up two runs, and that was it. So thanks, Mark Kotze, I guess.
Well, how about Ty France, though? We talked a lot about him yesterday with Ryan on the show, and there was, for obvious reasons, you saw the way he responded to being hit in the hand, the wrist, wherever apparently it hit him in the fatty part of the side of his hand. Luckily, you know, one millimeter one way, the other, maybe we're talking about broken bones and he's on the IL, but, you know, the way he was writhing in pain, and then they take him out of the game after he jogs to first, and you're thinking, okay, he's going to be out for at least a couple of games. He misses one game. He's back in the lineup. We're like, oh, we don't want to see a physically diminished version of him. We've already seen him try to battle through an injury when he hurt the elbow and the wrist, and the guy ran into him at first last year. So we've seen that before. Well, he comes up, very first pitch he sees, leaves the yard.
Here's the pitch on the way to Ty France. Swinging a drive deep to left field. Going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Ty France with a long home run to left field. Ty with his fourth home run of the season gets the Mariners on the board right away. And it's now the A's 2 and the Mariners 1.
Yeah, it had to be that way, of course.
Yeah, first pitch.
After all the talk, after all the worry, the big concern, and we weren't the only ones talking about it the entire day. Everyone was saying, well, should Ty France have an extended stint on the IL, or even not out, but just make him rest for a couple of games because he is more valuable down the stretch than in a series against the A's or against a decent to good Pirates team. You need him healthy and producing down the line, not what he tailed off with at the end of the year. But he just answered all questions and said, you know what? Hey, maybe it's a little bit of motivation. And he had his first multi-home run game in a Mariners uniform.
Yep. I think the reactions were justified based on his reaction to being hit. It wasn't like he got plunked like he normally does and he jogs to first and he might, you know, see him clench the hand or something or move the arm around. He was on his face, on the ground, writhing in pain. They take him out. So I think people were justified to be worried about it. But, yeah, he came up in the sixth inning. They were trailing 2-1, and he does something he had yet to do in a Mariner uniform.
Here comes the 1-1. Ty France swung on high drive, deep left field. That baby is destined to get out of the ballpark. And he hit it almost to the same spot. Ty France with a home run, his second of the night, fifth of the year. Ty France doing Ty France things. And we got a 2-2 ball game here at T-Mobile Park.
There you go. So two home runs in a game for the first time as a member of the Seattle Mariners. And the interesting thing about this is he scored all three runs in the game. So when Gino Suarez walked with the bases loaded, it was Ty France that scored the winning run. And, you know, the go-ahead run in that situation. So he scores all three of their runs. Just taking a look at some of the other good things that went on in this game. Julio hit the ball hard, going opposite field. He was 2-for-4 on the night. He's now got a four-game hitting streak going. So looks like he's starting to find it a bit. That's good news. They only had 5 hits in this game. 4 of them came from 2 guys. The other hit, Teoscar Hernandez. And I pointed this out as a positive. He didn't strike out. He was 1-for-3. He had the only other hit, 2 hits for Julio, 2 for France. Teoscar had the other hit. More importantly, he didn't strike out. And then Paul Sewald came in, and this bullpen has been phenomenal this year. He comes in, 3 up, 3 down, boom, they're out of the game.
Second best bullpen war in baseball behind the Orioles. And, yeah, I mean, that's almost a good and a bad there with what you just mentioned, the hits coming from just 3 people and 2 of them combining for 4 of those hits, because a win has a way of hiding a lot of flaws, especially when, okay, it's the end of a series, it's tough to win 4 in a row, you don't have to focus on the A's, you're playing a new team. But that was kind of concerning when you look down the lineup and you saw, oh, no one else was hitting except for Ty France and Julio.
Well, you're getting to the bad. You're pulling Wyman. You're jumping ahead.
No, not yet.
Yes, you
are. I'm twisting it back around and saying they did come up with those timely hits and got the win. So that was the good despite not hitting. It's just a lead-in. Okay, let's lead into
the bad. Well, one more good before we get to the bad is that the lineup as a whole struck out a total of 4 times, which for this lineup is a very good night because they – I don't know where they rank now, but they've been leading the league. They've been tied for the lead. They've been back and forth. But they strike out more than just about every team in all of Major League Baseball. And for them to strike out in totality 4 times, it's a good night. Now, the bad from the game – the lineup, as we just said, mustered 5 total hits. 4 of them came from 2 guys. 2 for France, 2 for Julio, 1 for Teoscar. So that wasn't great. The rest of the lineup got shut down. Base running was a bit sloppy last night. You saw Caballero get picked off. You saw Julio get doubled off on that fly ball to left field. So those are mistakes you can't make. Those are you know, you're in control there.
And I'll add that not necessarily a complete bad, because it was also the base runner having a good effort there, but Caballero not getting the tag down on Ryan Noda when he had him almost dead to rights. The glove was there. Noda had a slide around, and instead of the inning ending, that leads to the 2-run homer. At that point, until the Mariners take the lead on that bases-loaded walk, that's the difference. So that could have loomed as a potentially very bad situation. But, these are things that happen, and the good does outweigh the bad when you get such a dominant pitching performance like you did from Logan Gilbert. And that was only the second time he's gone 8 innings. And the other one, we all know it because it was the clinch. It was that night here against the A's. So Logan Gilbert likes pitching against the A's.
Yeah, this rotation is ridiculous. I mean, they lead all of Major League Baseball in quality starts, 28 quality starts. That's the best in all of Major League Baseball. They are giving they are giving this team a chance to win most nights. They have been fantastic, and it's easy to daydream about what they can be. I mean, you're talking about young guys, really young guys that are the core of this, that are carrying this team while the offense is trying to find their footing. So it just feels like it's been once, even in the Braves series, you dropped 2 of 3 in that series, but you got great pitching performances across the board. Same thing here. Marco with a quality start with his last time out this time. And the interesting thing is they all seem to have a little bit of trouble in the first inning, specifically in the Braves series. But they all shut it down. They all made their adjustments, whatever those adjustments were, and they were locked down. I mean, whether we're talking about Miller or Kirby or whoever, it's just this rotation has been outstanding, and they are keeping this team afloat while the offense is still trying to find it a bit. So we'll talk more about that coming up. Right now, let's take 2.
DeAndre Hopkins was released by the Cardinals earlier today. No other team was willing to take on the 3 years and nearly $50 million remaining on his contract. The Cardinals now have a $22.6 million cap hit in the dead money this season.
Yeah, that's a big hit, man. That's for a guy you're not using. You're not utilizing. He's of no benefit. He's not on the team. But you're going to say, well, we'll give up almost $23 million in cap space. And I jokingly said, yeah, that's the last thing Kyler Murray needs is one less weapon. I mean, he's got enough struggles on his own. You take away DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is still wildly talented. I know he's got some injuries he's dealt with. He's 30, which in football years, you're kind of looking toward the backside of your career. So we'll see. He's going to land somewhere. I mean, he's still still a guy you want on your team. I don't know what he's going to make, you know, what the payday is going to look like, but I could see him ending up on the Bills or the Ravens, one of these teams out there. But it's going to be an interesting pairing wherever he ends up. And he talked about the quarterbacks he'd like to play with. So he probably saw this coming when he was doing that podcast interview.
And that was, we played that sound like on Tuesday, and we'll play that again when we talk kind of around the NFL a little bit later. But it is surprising they cut bait so quickly. And yes, I know, I'm sure you call all 31 other teams and say, you want him? No. We have seen some inventive salary things happen between teams, like the Rams did with Baker Mayfield paying a portion for the Browns to offset that. So I am surprised, and we don't know the inner workings and the nuances of this salary, but I'm surprised the Cardinals didn't just say, all right, we'll eat like $15 million or anything up to what would have lessened this in order to get
maybe
something
they did
back for him. Yeah.
Maybe they did.
Right. We have to assume they did, because that's a big dead cap hit just to get rid of him.
Couple things around baseball for the Mariners to watch. The Rangers are in Baltimore for the start of a 3-game series. The Orioles and Rangers have the second and third best records in baseball. And the Astros get to play the A's for 3 games starting tonight in Oakland.
How delightful would it be to see the A's end their losing streak against the Astros? That'd be just perfect. I don't think it's likely, but I'm pulling for it, and I think we are all feeling go Orioles.
Well, you know, we're talking about the balanced schedule and how it's going to kind of hurt your chances of teams beating up on each other. A series like this, well, these two series like these are key because you have the opportunity in a rare situation for the Rangers to knock down some games or knock out the Orioles and drop them back if you're talking about a wild card. Or if the Orioles, the second best team in baseball this year, are able to cut down the Rangers, then the Mariners climb back in it. On the other side, though, the issue is the Astros, who are now 28-21, winners of 8 of their last 10. Bob, if they sweep here, then they're in first, and they look like the Astros again.
Yep. All right, Take 2 is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife, swedish.org/cyberknife-prostate. Coming up, do the Mariners have to sweep this series as well? We're going to get into that next. It's Wyman and Bob. Lefko in for Wyman, live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob. Lefko in for Wyman. Seattle Sports on 710. Pirates out on the field taking batting practice out here on a beautiful day. What a great day for baseball. It's not too hot right now. We're covered here, so that makes it much easier to say that. A little breeze going. We got
no direct sunlight for you.
Once again, thanks to our guys over there at Moto. Is it Odd Pizza?
No, Moto Pizza.
Well, what's with the odd?
That's their labeling of it. That's their branding, I think. Yeah.
It's their labeling.
Yeah. No, that's what it's called. No, it's called Moto Pizza. Odd Pizza. That's their like slogan.
Okay. It's their slogan. Yeah. Yeah, I can see it's a label.
No, that's what I'm going to say. The word literal is slogan.
Okay.
That's the company name is Moto.
Okay. Well, that's good stuff. We appreciate them bringing it over. So the I can't hear what. Yeah. What yeah. But yeah, our thanks to them for bringing it over, and it is good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And I guess what Salk is very upset that we don't.
I don't know if he's upset. He's probably jealous.
He's on a diet, man. You've heard the commercials. Yeah. The man's losing weight like crazy. Yeah. This is just not what he's can be a part of. I'm sorry. We're going to have to.
We'll have to eat all 8 of these.
Well,
ourselves.
I'm sure you will. I've already heard Lefko talk about plans to bring the remainder up to the press box with him. He said, I'm going to have to eat this tonight. I didn't bring a lunch, so I guess the rest of this is his. I've never seen anybody get so excited about food. He was making noises and gestures I hadn't heard or seen come out of him. So he's very excited about the pizza. And we thank, again, our guys over there at Moto Pizza, which is available here in the ballpark at T-Mobile Park. Meanwhile, as we mentioned, we've got the Pirates who are in town. Now, this is a team, Lefko, I was looking at that they started out red hot. They were 20-8, and everybody is going, my goodness, what is going on with the Pirates? And nobody expected this. And, you know, so you kind of just, without watching them, we're not watching National League Baseball or specifically the Pirates. And then you're like, yeah, they've been struggling or scuffling lately. I looked at their record. They're 25-24 right now. April 29th, they were 20-8. Since then, they've gone 5-16. So they've started to play like the Pirates, I think everybody expected, which kind of feels like, all right, I'm not saying it won't be tough, and I think tonight's the toughest matchup pitching-wise, you know, in terms of what this offense is going to be facing for the Mariners. I kind of feel like this is one you get. This is a series you get. You know, I think I went into it going, okay, this is going to be tough. That's why I put so much importance on the A series. You know, gain that ground right there. You know, build yourself a cushion because these next two can be tough. And then looking closer at this team and what's been going on with them, yeah, they've dropped 6 of the last 10. Again, they've gone to, you know, 5-16 since April 29th. This is a team you take 2 of 3 from.
Yeah, actually, I was just coordinating right now with Pirates radio broadcaster Joe Block. So I think he's going to be out here at 4:45, so he can give us some more insight. But it almost makes you stay greedy because you're right, Bob. The Pirates have slipped, and you look through their schedule. And since that Dodgers win, which was in April, they have fallen off, and they haven't beaten a good team in a series. So this could be a good litmus test for the Mariners. Are the Mariners a good team? Well, the Pirates have lost to the Rangers and the Diamondbacks and the Orioles and the Blue Jays and every other team they have played so far this season. So if the Mariners are a good team, and all indications and all hopes are that the Mariners, yes, are a good team, you win this series, and I would like to see them get the first two. Because then if you get the first two, you can play for that sweep. You know, if you win 2 out of 3, but you win tonight and you win Sunday, okay, that's still good. If you go into Sunday with that opportunity, perception changes a lot, and ultimately 2 out of 3 is the same 2 out of 3. But win these first two. Give yourself a chance and might as well get a sweep. And we've heard, you know, from John Morosi, from everyone, wins are wins. You pick them up. You beat up on these bad teams. You get greedy when you can. So if the Mariners get through tonight, and it looks like the best pitcher the Pirates will throw out there is tonight in Mitch Keller, and it's George Kirby against him. So, you know, why not? Why not get these and take
all
3?
Why not get them? Yeah, why not? That should be their slogan. Why not? Let's go ahead and take 2 of 3. Take 2 of 3. And I think, yeah, tonight, if they're going to drop one in this series, I think it would be tonight. You look at the other pitchers that they're going up against. One's got a 4.5 ERA, and I know there's a big prospect, and the other one's a little over 4. Haven't had the same level of success as the guy going tonight in Keller. So, you know, we'll see what they do. It's going to be fun to watch a team. We don't normally get a chance to see a team that surprised a lot of people, but feels like they're kind of coming back to what people expected of them. And more importantly, I'll just be curious to see what this 4-game winning streak has done for the mentality of some of these guys. We talked about Julio. He's got, you know, it's a modest streak, but he's got a 4-game hit streak going right now. He had a couple hits last night. He's taken the ball the other way. He didn't look like he was getting beat by the fastball. So it was just kind of good to see. And then Ty France obviously seems healthy. If we can get Teoscar going, he had the other hit last night. So just mentally speaking, are some of these guys going to come out of this 4-game series and feel like, okay, had a couple of base knocks out there. We got 4 wins in a row. Just feeling better about it rather than up there grinding that bat and just, man, I got to come through. I got to come through. So you just wonder about just the mental part of that 4-game sweep. But yeah, it's great for the record. Fans love it. Obviously, a team loves it. But just as individuals that were struggling prior to that series.
Well, Bob, I'm excited to see if this game can get done in 90 minutes. Because last night, 2 hours, a very nice, very quick, tidy 2-hour game.
Well, now you're getting greedy.
Well, no, you have the two guys to do it tonight. George Kirby, who doesn't walk guys, 8 straight quality starts. And Mitch Keller, the Pirates, who doesn't walk guys either. 37 strikes, just 2 walks in his 4 starts this month. And 77 strikeouts, just 14 walks total for Keller. They are 8th and 10th in WAR, respectively. So these guys might just carve through the opposing batters here. But, yeah, you do want to see the Mariners find a little bit of that consistency because outside of Julio and outside of Ty France, there are some question marks coming out of that A's series. It's nice you get 4. It's very tough to get 4. But when 2 of those were 1-run wins and 3 runs in both situations, and in the 2 games they were oddly similar in the fact that it came down to almost 1 guy or 1 inning. And without that sustained effort, who knows if they get the win? Tuesday night, just 3 hits in a row, won the game for the Mariners. Mm-hmm. Last night, Ty France literally kept them in the game, and then the A's kind of gave it away with a bases-loaded walk. But outside of that, didn't have that consistency that we were asking for after Monday when they came out and destroyed Oakland.
Are you getting into style points now? They didn't win in the way you wanted them to win?
No, but think about it. You know, just like you were saying, what's going on there with the lineup? You don't know because there were a lot of still some hits and misses.
What do you got going to be?
Guys.
Is that a bee or a fly?
I don't know. That's why I'm a little concerned by it over there. So I was trying to get rid of it.
I'm joking around. I'm kidding. Looking at last night, I'm going, okay. Almost the entire lineup got shut down last night. You had 5 hits, and again, 4 of them coming from 2 players. So, yeah, in bottom line, when we're a month, into the season, a month further, we're not looking at this game going, well, they only had five hits and only scored three runs. We're just like, all right, they won. They won. And that's the bottom line business, as people like to say, and all that good stuff. But yeah, there are things you look at and go, okay, I'd like to see a few more guys chipping in here, finding some rhythm up at the plate and things like that. And we'll see how it goes in the series. Right now, the fact that they're just finding ways to win when they're not clicking, that's always to me a sign of a team that's coming together, just a good team. When you don't have your best stuff, or you're a pitcher out there, but you find a way to grind it out. You find a way to grind out a win, even when things aren't completely clicking. That's a good sign.
That's a good point, because what was the issue that was so uncharacteristic early this year? One-run losses. Now, all of a sudden, the Mariners have won back-to-back one-run games. I don't care if it was against the A's. They've won those games. They've found the ways to win. So that's the mantra of the Mariners that we've gotten used to, and that's kind of their identity. So to have those two back-to-back one-run wins, yes, hopefully that carries over.
Hey, don't miss the Mariners' final Little League Day of the season. That's Sunday, May 28th. All kids 14 and under can pick up a Mariners poster featuring reigning Rookie of the Year Julio Rodriguez. Again, that is May 28th. That's a Sunday. You can get tickets at mariners.com/promotions. All right, coming up, there could be a lot of options today. Time to find out what's bugging me, what's bugging Lefko. I think it's the bee or fly that's over here right now, but we'll find out for sure coming up as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
I just did that with my mind, Lefko. You like that?
Powerful.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that happened right there. These big, giant cases just decided to fall. That was weird. Anyway, we're live at Edgar's Cantina here. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710, as the Mariners get set game one of their three-game series with the Pirates. Coming up, we did get confirmation. We'll be speaking with the broadcast, the play-by-play man of the Pittsburgh Pirates, 445? 445 today. His name, Joe Block. So we'll talk to him about this team and what's happened since. You know what I'm kind of bummed about is O'Neill Cruz, I find fascinating.
I would love
to see him in person. What is he, 6'7", I think he's listed
at? He throws like 110 miles an hour over from short.
I mean, he's a giant out there playing shortstop. He's got power. He's a curiosity to me, but he's obviously, he got injured very early, so I'm kind of bummed he's not here. Anyway, we'll talk to Joe Block coming up at 4:45. Again, Bill Krueger will join us coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, Ryan Roland-Smith at 4. Our player spotlight will feature Bryce Miller here in person at Edgar's Cantina at 5 o'clock, and then our buddy from Prospect Insider Luke Arkins at 5:30. Once again, I'm coming up a little short here, Lefko. It's a beautiful day. Baseball is my world. I love baseball. We're under the tent, so we're not out here brisking in the sun. There's very little that's bothering me other than I had to go get a steroid shot in my hip this morning, which that's not cool at all, man. I don't recommend that to anybody. I don't recommend that. I'm not usually a person that has an issue with needles. I get, you know, blood tests and shots. I've got tattoos, all that. That area, yeah, it made me a little tense. Because you get two. You get the numbing shot, which they're like, okay, get ready. This is going to be like a bee sting. Mm. And I'm like, oh, boy. So they give you a shot before they give you the shot. And I had one in the front area for the MRI that they did before they injected the dye or whatever for the contrast. And now I had to do this as part of a treatment thing, so that wasn't awesome. I don't recommend it, but outside of that, it's a glorious day. The Mariners have just won four in a row. We're out there at the ballpark. I don't feel right complaining about anything.
You think there'd be a way to do that, though, without the shot? Like, couldn't you do like a
cream? The pre-shot?
You need a shot before the shot before the shot. So couldn't you numb before the shot?
The thing is,
couldn't they like rub a?
It's not like a shot.
Numbing cream?
It's not like a vaccination where they just boom, hit the plunger, you're done. Mm. They're moving it around.
Oh, okay.
So it's in there for a bit. You know, they're like, you're going to feel some pressure. You're going to feel some pressure. And you're like, hey, you're just laying there. And then they go, all right, now here comes the other one. I was like, okay, can we do this quickly? Because it's getting a little dicey.
I wonder, that's
Yeah, but
that's tough.
I'm in a glorious mood. It's beautiful out. It's baseball. The Mariners are a winning team right now, and their pitching is amongst the best in all of baseball. As a Mariner fan, There's a lot of pride in that. There's a lot of pride in seeing that. I just want the offense to back it up. I want them to, you know, don't waste these starts. You got 28 quality starts. You lead all of Major League Baseball. That tells you you've lost a few of those. And it's on the offense that once again.
You know what I was thinking of? Maybe this would bother you. We're not going to have Sweeping the Dial today because Joe Block's going to join us at 4:45. So we were going to play this cut from Scott Servais and Sweeping where he talked. I don't know if you heard his post game where he was talking about Eugenio Suarez's final plate appearance. And he said, well, you know, right? He came out of the bathroom. So my thought was, oh, I wonder if he had time to wash his hands there. And I figured that would be something that would be bugging you if a baseball player in a hurry, because the intentional walk to Kelenic, all of a sudden Suarez just sprints out there, forgets to wash his hands.
Well, he's got gloves on, I assume. So,
but then his gloves, you've described your process of like having to clean the seat that you've sat in, the airplane. So even the gloves would be dirty. The gloves have touched a bat.
Yeah. Well, but it's his gloves, his bat, so I don't need to interact with
him. He high-fives the guys after he comes back.
He's got the gloves on. In the dirt, the filth is on the inside.
All right.
See?
So it doesn't seep through.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to kind of get the inner workings of what's the germ, what can be wiped off.
Yeah, that I'd be at peace with, because we're not sharing anything.
Yeah.
I'm not using his gloves. I'm not putting his gloves after he didn't wash his hands coming from the bathroom. God knows what he was doing in there. That wouldn't be problematic for me at all. And that was pretty funny, that story. By the way, I got to give some props to Nick Allen from the A's last night. Had you seen that play before? We've seen players that want to turn a double play, which is the infield fly rule that guards against that. But we've seen guys try to act like they lose a ball in the sun when there's a runner on first and they're trying to, you know, oh, I lost it and turn the double play. But he did it to swap runners. They had Caballero on first. Ty France pops up to shallow left field, deep short, if you will. And Nick Allen, he looks like he's got it. It's just a routine play. And then the last second, it looks like he loses it. Ball drops, fires the ball to second to get Caballero out. So they're swapping runners for the slowest runner on the team in Ty France. Julio comes up, hits the double. Ty gets the third, and you're going, that was a savvy play. I don't know if
especially with two outs.
Yeah. I don't know if Caballero scores there. Maybe he does. It's. I'm not sure. I'm not saying for sure, but he certainly would have had a better opportunity than Ty France would have, who I think is arguably the slowest guy on the team.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of good situational awareness and scouting because, yes, we know that Ty France is slow, and the A's might, but they also, you know, it's Nick Allen. It's a lot of new players, young players on that A's team. They might not know the entirety of the Mariners roster and say, oh, yeah, that guy is slower than that guy is slower. So just understanding in the moment that, yes, Ty France is a much slower runner. Right, and sure, we could say, oh, no, that's easy. It's easy to tell that, but when you're out there, two outs, you're trying to make a play, or one out, you're trying to make a play, and the ball's popped up. Are you really going to be thinking, you know what?
I'm going to swap runners.
I want to let that runner be out. I want the guy who popped up to be on it first. So, yeah, it's a very heads-up play. Good job by Nick Allen there. And then even more importantly, that it didn't matter for the Mariners because that had the look of course, that's going to be the big difference. You'll head to the ninth tied, and Matt Nelson over there, I just got to give him a little shout out. He was getting very frustrated with how quick the game was moving, but that it was tied. Because it had all the makings, of an extra inning game. Because when you hype up the fact that a game is speeding along, moving so quickly, you know, an hour and 20 minutes to get to the seventh,
that's
of course, that's
the
game that goes 12 innings and ends up being like 3 hours. So,
Yeah, no, that was, I got to give him credit. I you know, that's a heads up play. And Scott, I think, even gave him credit after the game. He was asked about it and he was like, baseball IQ, man. That's a very smart play.
Yeah.
You know, and it said, I wasn't even considering it. And I'm like, how did he lose? Wait, what happened? Oh, man. Nice. Well done, Nick Allen, who looks like he's 12 years old out there. But, yeah, very, very.
Well, that's how we knew Ty France was slow. Yeah. Fellow 12-year-olds.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, that was a heads-up play. Luckily, it didn't. You think Caballero scores on that? I don't know if he does.
And that's where I don't know his speed. But I think with two outs, yes. They would have sent him. You send him, so.
No. Well,
there were
two outs. So if he catches that, he's on first. Okay, so.
Yes.
I don't know. Maniac is pretty aggressive. He sent Ty a couple times where I'm like, dude, come on, man.
Well, Caballero was definitely getting sent in that situation.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember where the ball was. Because at the time I'm going, ooh, maybe he doesn't score there. It wasn't obvious. It wasn't like, oh, man, that killed us because Caballero scores for sure there.
Right. You went two outs, so you do have the feel of like, a two-out double. Certainly a guy's going to score if it's anyone else. So good thing it didn't come back to hurt the Mariners, especially in a tie game.
Yeah, all right. So either way, they got the win, and Nothing's bothering me today. It's beautiful. All right, coming up, we've got a former pitcher joining us. We'll delve into this rotation, how he feels about the bullpen, and get his expertise on all of it. Bill Krueger of Root Sports will join us next year as we continue live from Edgar's Cantina. This is Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.